Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're talking Stafford County Schools and a lot of exciting things happening with Stafford County Schools, and we're going to get into that this morning. School Superintendent Dr. Bruce Benson is here. Dr. Benson, great to have you here this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Ted. Thanks for having us back.
Holly Hazard from the school board is here with a very cool school board pullover. I like that. If you want to leave that behind today. I think it's
ready for fall, finally.
Yes, you are ready for fall. And Cherie Johnson is here, the Director of Strategic Communications for the County Schools. Good to have you here this morning.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Cherie, I'm going to start off with you, and we'll then fill in all the gaps. But pretty exciting over the weekend, our sister station, B101.5, mm-hmm. gave away Pohanka Nissan in Fredericksburg gave away a 3-year lease to a car. The winner of a Stafford County mom gave the car back, and Tim Pohanka is giving a donation to the autism program at Conway Elementary.
Absolutely amazing. We are so excited. Yes, April Birch, she's a parent of two students at Conway Elementary School, a third grader and a first grader, and one of her sons is in our autism program. And so she won this 3-year lease for a Nissan Rogue and decided, you know what, I don't need the car, but what I would like is to help the autism program at my son's school. And so we are elated. This is wonderful. So the check presentation's coming up, I think, on Friday, and we are so excited. I mean, she just saw a need and felt that she wanted to give, and it doesn't happen every day, but we are excited to help that program.
And it's a kind of a thinking outside the box kind of thing.
You think
somebody may see this and say there's a program at my school, or a business person may think.
Exactly.
Hey.
Yeah, we have about 24 business partners right now with Stafford County Public Schools, and this is something that we're trying to grow. And actually, these are the type of things that we are trying to implement in our school division. And I got to tell you, I'll definitely be reaching out to Nissan. That sounds like they might be an excellent business partner with things like this going on.
Yeah. Dr. Benson, this has got to warm your heart. And I know in talking to Mrs. Birch yesterday, she just was so enthused and had nothing but good to say about the teachers and what happens with that program at Conway.
Yeah, so I think we do a great job of taking care of all of our students. And when we say all, we mean all. And we provide a really great support system for kids, regardless of what needs they may have.
Funding is tough in these days, and to have something like this, and like Cherie mentioned, you know, maybe another business partner coming along. These are the kind of things that all localities need.
Absolutely, and like you said, it really does warm our hearts to have someone recognize that the great work that our teachers are doing, and then finding a way to give back a little bit. It's really wonderful.
Holly, she mentioned the work that the PTO did in the school. I mean, a lot of for schools to run and for these programs to take place, it takes a lot of people and beyond the teachers and the school board, and it involves the parents and the community.
And I think that's one of the neat things about Stafford County is we do have a lot of very, very involved parents. We also always, I mean, I can't, I'd be remiss if I didn't say we'd love to have more. But the thing is our PTOs, having been a PTO president, I know what it's like to beg and to say, but to also hear about some of those needs or things that are unique to your own school that may not be a broad need that kind of comes mm-hmm. before the school board. But, you know, what things do we individually want for our schools? And that's supporting programs. Transitioning, boys in blazers, girl smarts programs, things like that. Sometimes there are students within that would like to participate in those programs because there is a cost. I mean, most things, a lot of PTOs, community partners help sponsor getting some of our kids into some programs that we know that would be really beneficial for them, but maybe there isn't the ability to pay for that. And I know that that's something Another thing is our Stafford Education Foundation. That's another avenue that we are re-energizing. I think we told you we were really excited about our golf tournament, which raised, we believe, over $30,000. I haven't gotten the full thing. We also have a run coming up to raise funds again. So it's all these extra things that we can do to help.
Well, and it was so interesting talking to her yesterday and hearing her enthusiasm about this particular program at this particular school. And sometimes it was really good to hear, because this has happened in all schools. Mm-hmm. And for this to get the kind of the emphasis and the focus here, it's kind of nice.
Definitely.
And if someone's interested in coming up with a partnership with Stafford County Schools, who'd they talk to?
They would talk to me. That'd be awesome. Okay. They can just send me an email, johnsonsa@staffordschools.net. Would love to talk to them.
Okay.
We're always looking for people to partner within the community.
We'll mention that, because a lot, you know, sometimes this just gets people thinking, and
exactly.
It's like, I would like to do something like this, but I wouldn't know, you know, who to go to.
Yeah, go to me.
Okay. So we've got the person here. So it's out there, and for this particular program, it's nice to get the stories she talked about the teachers and going you know, way beyond the extra mile. Great stuff to hear. You mentioned, Holly, about the Boys in Blazers program. That's at Hartwood Elementary. Is that the only school that's got it right now
that I'm aware of?
Okay.
But I know that there are lots of different programs that schools are doing to encourage our kids in the areas of not just etiquette, but one of our C5W skills is citizenship. And how can we help our kids, you know, develop those skills, collaboration, communication? That's what a lot of this is. I'm familiar with the Girl Smarts program. My girls were in that at Margaret Brent Elementary. And it really taught them those life skills, well, really what we call the all-century skills, if I'm using all my good terminology. And it's just really exciting to see our amazing staff come up with programs or build on programs or partner with people in our community to make sure that our kids leave Stafford County Public Schools with, yes, a diploma, but also an ability to function in all these other skills. And we're really excited. They're going to be honored tonight at the Board of Supervisors meeting, and it's just a great program.
Yeah. So, Dr. Benson, the whole Boys in Blazers, I mean, I guess you're teaching, your boys are dressing up, and you're teaching them how to act.
Well, and you know, looking at things like self-image and being respectful of others and having good manners and just, you know, treating each other well.
Yeah. What a great program, though. That's something that I know when the story came out on it last week and putting it on Facebook, it really resonated with the community. And that's what you
want
to see.
And it was on ABC 7 last night. We were profiled last night on the 5 o'clock news, ABC 7.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah, so that was nice.
So, and then to be honored tonight by the Board of Supervisors. So some really good things going on with Stafford County Schools, and it's always nice to start off with some really exciting stuff. When we come back, we're gonna move into and talk about elementary class sizes and other things. Dr. Bruce Benson here, Holly Hazard, and Sheree Johnson, Stafford County Schools. Our focus, more coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Stafford County Schools, our focus this morning as we take a look at a number of things. Dr. Benson, with the school superintendent here, along with Holly Hazard and Sheree Johnson, the director of strategic communication for county schools. And you were telling me before we went on about an elementary class size goal that you have reached, and pretty exciting.
The neat thing is, about 2 years ago, the board really started looking at class size. When Dr. Benson came on board, he started presenting us with very detailed reports on class size at every level, which had never been seen before. We'd been hearing as board members a lot about increasing class size. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're growing and things like that. And, you know, if you can get it right at the beginning, that's why we started at elementary. How can we really make an impact when our youngest students are in the classroom? And a smaller class size we thought was needed. So over a 2-year span, the board worked with Dr. Benson on new staffing standards that set new targets for us. And then we also, as part of our budget priorities, said we will put our money where our mouth is and hired additional teachers to make those to allow that to happen.
Yeah.
And we were very excited that this year, 542 classes, I think only 2 do not reach our goal, but that's also, we are somewhat space constrained at the school that's impacting you.
Okay.
Also, if you can create another class, you would, but if you don't have a classroom to put it in, we would wait. And it is at Moncur Elementary, which, as you know, will be in a new place.
Right.
Really soon, but we will add the additional support in any classrooms that we don't have that. But right now, that was really, I think, a testament to saying we were going to do it. And when you focus your resources and your staffing standards, you can reach those.
So what is the goal?
Well, it varies by grade level.
Okay.
So we look for smaller classes in at K-3, a little bit larger in grades 4 and 5. In the kindergarten level, we're looking at 1 per 24, and if a class exceeds 24, then we have a paraprofessional in there. At grades 1 through 3, 1 through 24, with no class larger than 26. So the board sets some caps,
okay,
and we have to come back and talk about what kind of circumstances may have caused us to exceed that cap. Excuse me. And then in grades 4 through 5, 1 FTE, 1 teacher per 25 students with no class larger than 27. So in 2 years' time, again, the board met their goal with an increased number of students. That's the other thing, right? So 28,500 and I think 520, I think. No, I'm sorry.
Let's
let me
see.
Get the right number here.
28,544.
Yeah, 28,544 students.
Wow. Wow. I was going to ask you as we went along this morning about, because I know Spotsylvania's seen an increase this year. They've been pretty flat for a number of years, and they're seeing an increase. And just with the building going on in Stafford, I thought it makes sense that you're going to probably start seeing some. But boy, this is pretty significant. One of the things parents always ask about is at any level. Is class size, and it's especially in the elementary level, so important.
So we've tried to also implement that reduced level of class size in a sustainable manner. So as we move forward, we expect to be able to maintain that. The board has already identified secondary classes for some targeted staffing as a part of their budget priorities that they adopted at our last board meeting.
Yeah, we've looked at the interesting thing is because the state allows you to have a certain number, like in kindergarten, they say that no class should be larger than 29. And the board said, nope, 24 is the max we would like. From the state level, they said you can have in grades 1 to 3, you can have up to 30. And the board said, no, we don't want any more than 26. And then with grades 4 and 5, they said you could have a class up to 35 students, which we found completely unacceptable. And we said that none of our classes will exceed 27. Now, one of the things, and so I can give you the other side, is of course, as we grow throughout the year, there may be some increases in those classes.
Sure.
I mean, that's just how it goes. I don't believe, but we always talk with our school staff, do you create a class mid-year? We also have to look at the educational needs of our kids. So many times we do try to supplement that with paraprofessional support or other things. Because I think at the elementary level, there is a lot of disruption to say, wow, you've been 4 classes or 5 classes of kindergarten, we're going to create another one, pulling everybody from the teacher. That may not make sense. So we do understand that this is a beginning of the year, but it is a heck of a lot better than it has been. At least they're starting the year that way. And then as we look at our growth, we need to make some decisions on where we're going to go moving forward.
Well, good for you. I mean, boy, the numbers that the state says you can do, that's I just think of 35 for a teacher. You just think of the teacher. I know in even 24, I'm sure for a lot of teachers is a lot, but that's at least manageable. And again, it's the whole class size thing, and this is a pretty substantial thing when you think. I mean, this is easier said than done. I mean, it's easy to say, well, we're going to have 20. You know, we're going to try to keep it 1 to 24, and then all of a sudden you're looking at space and with all kinds of things. So this is a pretty. You've got to be pretty happy with this, Dr. Benson.
I think the board did an excellent job of setting a target and then allocating resources to be able to hit that target.
So then this is on the elementary side. Are you going to in future years continue this and look as you go up?
Exactly. We want to continue to support that level of staffing or look for improvement at the elementary level. But we're also going to be moving on to looking at middle and high school class sizes. As a matter of fact, the board will be receiving the middle school class size report at our meeting next week on Tuesday.
And in the board current priorities, which have budget priorities for next year, middle school was identified for the core classes. It does get a little more complicated as you move through the upper levels, but we said with core classes, math, English, like social, what are our core class sizes at middle school? And I think that's the direction the board is intending to take in this year's budget.
And we're going to talk about it as we go along this morning in the next segment probably, but you hope that these you make this kind of a focus on class sizes, that one of the things you see it translate is test scoring as kids go on. That's you hope that more of that personalized teaching comes into play. And I know as you as a mom, Holly, that I mean that's something this is a big deal for parents.
And I think the other thing and people who know me pretty well know that I really believe that school districts need to do better for the middle kid, the kid that may not be that the only way that we're going to identify great things in what I would call, you know, the middle kid is to say, gosh, you recognize something in that child. And the way that you get that is by having that a little bit of extra time. There would be a real difference of touching, you know, having that personal contact with 30 students in your classroom or 24 or 25. There's just a little bit more time to make sure that we are making sure each student is identified with something that they really like, making sure that they get pushed. Sometimes some of our middle kids need that extra push, but can get overlooked, not intentionally, but because of large class sizes or, you know, competing demands, that I'm hoping there's going to be more ability to identify those students and push them to excel in some areas that maybe they didn't think about.
Well, and just the fact, Dr. Benson, you came in and wanted to look at this and took it to the board shows, I mean, that this was this is an important thing.
We do, excuse me, Ted. Yes, we've tried to bring a level of analysis with everything that we've asked the board to consider in areas that we're trying to improve, and this has worked out well for our elementary teachers, our elementary students, and we expect that we'll move into middle and high school in this next year and make some improvement there as well.
Yeah.
Sheree, I shouldn't ask this without having asked you ahead of time because I think it's correct. But I think, because we talked about this a little while ago, but the board meetings are now being streamed again, aren't they?
That is correct, yes. Thank you for actually bringing that up. Yes, we are now live streaming our school board meetings once again, and we now have closed captioning, so we are very excited about that. And we are trying to spread the word. We put it on our website so that people can click on the link and view those on the website. Yes.
I thought I had heard that.
That is correct.
But I was afraid, and I thought, I wonder if I should say that.
Thank you for helping us get the word out.
And
that's absolutely correct.
So that way, if you don't have you don't have an option by TV, you can still find out what is going with the Stafford County Schools by streaming it. Stafford County Schools, our focus this morning. We will continue on. We're going to talk about the annual report and a couple of other things as we continue on News Talk 1230 WFVA coming up on 829.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're talking Stafford County Schools this morning. Dr. Bruce Benson among those here this morning. Boy, Dr. Benson, it just occurred to me, it wasn't that long ago that we were talking about the beginning of school and everybody going back. And now we're, you know, we're before you know it, we're bumping into Halloween. The school year is going as fast as this whole year is gone.
It is, and we've actually had a very smooth start, and we're thankful to all of our professionals across the division for making that happen in all capacities, whether cafeteria or our bus drivers, our monitors, our custodial staff, our teachers. I mean, folks just did an incredible job getting us up and running this year.
Boy, I know you spend the summer getting ready, and there's everybody has nerves the first day or so of school, but I'm sure none more than you as you look across the whole division and just think, you know, please everything go right.
So I'm thankful that we have such a great team in the school division that help make sure things go right. There are always the little glitchy kinds of things, and you know, one of the areas that we improve in during the first few weeks is transportation. That's one of the things during the first week that our young people are getting home typically a little bit later than what we would want, but you see steady improvement in those delivery times.
Yeah.
During the course of the first few weeks.
And I think since I last saw you, Holly, that was it, the school board was it over the summer that you decided that school's going to continue to start, or this next year will start after Labor Day?
That's correct. They're part of the board has decided, though, that we would like to re-examine the process that we use to make that decision. I think part of, now this is my personal opinion, not the board's opinion, I believe we do need to be looking regionally because some of our employees live in other jurisdictions. You know, some start early, some start late. Can we sort of look at a regional look at how we best also suit, you know, our employees and their needs?
Because
if they have their kids in schools there and ours aren't open yet, or whichever way, I just think we need to look at that as a examination for our employees as well.
I was gonna ask you that, because it's a big deal in Spotsylvania, mm-hmm. and with Spotsylvania doing, I think King George is early too,
correct.
And you think a governor's school and just a lot of things. So I guess you don't operate
the board
by
is
yourself.
Asking right. The board is asking for that to come earlier. There was at our retreat this past August, there was a push to say, hey, you know, by October, we'd like to sort of figure out what's the process we're going to do to look at this.
Okay.
And I believe there'll be some information coming on that, and then either at the next board meeting or at least sort of a structure of how we want to move forward.
Okay. I know the annual report is about to be released. Either of you want to jump into that and talk about the annual report?
Sure, Ted. On an annual basis, we report progress to the board, both in terms of student achievement and in terms of our progress in meeting the goals that the board identified in the strategic plan. The enhancement that we have coming forward to the board this year is that we've formatted a report specifically for our community, both for parents and other community members, and we're excited about getting some of that information out to folks. You know, areas that we've been successful in, as well as areas that where we continue to face some challenges. You know, I'm happy to report that all of our schools remain fully accredited, that we continue to outperform the majority of divisions in Virginia as far as SOLs go. Our scores are above the state average, and that's a testament to the great job that our teachers mm-hmm. and building level administrators are doing. Incredible job. At the same time, there's some areas that we feel like there's some room for improvement. SAT scores, ACT scores, we're kind of at the state average, and we think that we can do better than that. So we're looking at how to kind of zone up our expectations for our young people across the division as a whole. We've also done some things on the operational side of the house that, that we think will help us work more efficiently and effectively moving forward, including the implementation of a new ERP and enterprise resource planning system that does all of our financials and HR efforts. And we hit a major milestone at the end of September, and that was our October payroll. That was the first payroll that we used the system to pay teachers on.
And it worked.
And it worked, right. So that was great. It's a complicated payroll because that's the one that has all of the changes that people make in deductions and any changes that they might be making with their health care options, all of which were entered electronically for the first time through an employee portal. So we're excited about that. We did use the product last year to build a zero-based budget. We're looking forward to doing that again in this coming year. But we've also implemented the HR components of it, including position control. So we can track positions and what happens when we have vacancies throughout the year, and is there an impact financially that, that could be of use to the board and perhaps redirecting funds during the course of the year if needed.
Boy, that sounds, with as many employees you have and just with the changeover and just the pure volume, to have something that can do that kind of thing is really something to be invaluable.
A lot less paper in the division, right? So timesheets generally are entered that way. Requests for leave are entered that way. It's a significant improvement for the operational side of our organization.
When you were here the last time, we talked about the teaching and learning summit that you did, and that I guess when you look back at the past year and something new that you implemented, that's got to be something that's really a jewel for you. I know you were all really excited about how that went and looking forward to moving forward with something like that.
We had very positive feedback from participants, but more importantly, we are connecting what happened in the summit with what's going on in this at the start of school here. We also did a pre and post assessment so we could determine whether or not we made gains in the areas that we were trying to help teachers and administrators have a better understanding of where we're headed in the school division, and that looked really positive for us. We have three classroom focuses that came out of that effort. We're looking at increasing the level of cognitive demand in the tasks that we're asking our young people to engage in, making sure that learning is relevant and that there's a reason beyond it. It's going to be on a test that you might have to take, whether it's an SOL, AP, or IB assessment. And making sure that our students are engaged in what's happening in the classroom and not simply compliant. We don't want our students simply to do what teachers are asking them to do because they're being asked to do it, but because they see value in what we're asking them to do.
Boy, and that's one of the things in education. And I was talking about this with somebody the other day and saying that I look back and wished I had paid attention in certain classes that I remember sitting there thinking, I'm never going to use this. And never saw any use in a lot of things. And you get into life and you discover there is a lot of use in a lot of the things. And teachers today, I think, are just much better, and schools are, of making things more relevant and seeing the need for things.
And Ted, I think in that same reason, I think that goes with our C5W is, like you said, I will tell you, trigonometry to me was my bane of my existence, and I said I will never use cosine in anything.
Yeah.
But what could I have taken from that class was, I needed to pass it, but also how do I approach a difficult task? How can we teach our young people, even if they say, I am never going to use trigonometry, and I can honestly tell you, I have never used it since I left.
Shh, but let's not tell. Well, no, don't
but
let that secret out.
Somebody who did, but it wasn't me. But what did I learn from that class? I still remember it. I had to figure out how to go to a teacher and say, man, I'm struggling with this.
Yeah.
How do I get better at this? What can I do to learn problem-solving tasks and to collaborate and to communicate how you struggle? Because whether it's trigonometry for me or writing for somebody else, how are you going to handle a difficulty in the future? And I think that is actually one of the skills, the best skills we can teach our kids, is how do you overcome a difficult class or an adversity, that. And there's going to be one of those classes in every kid's life.
Yeah.
And what can we take from that? And so I think that's exciting. I am very excited about the annual report. I have long asked for that we need to look at that. But here, but the reasoning being is what I want to say to the citizens of Stafford, what's the return on your investment? Because your tax dollars are paying for our schools, or at least a good portion of mm-hmm. them, and maybe even 50%. What are we producing with those funds that you are providing us? And I think we're doing a great job. We can maybe do better, but we also need to communicate, here's how we need to do better, going back to the first part of the thing, and man, we'll take some more community partners if we can.
Yeah. No, and I think it's important because when we started this, I almost said, you know, we're going to talk about the community report, and you know, the first things, you know, your eyes kind of glaze over, and it's just like, oh, do we have to? But there's some good things here. And like you say, you need to be able to communicate because there are just so many, there's so much talk around sometimes, and you need to be able to say, well, here are the facts. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think that's what's good about that. Sheree, I guess the one of the things that I'm guessing you're behind the new website and
yes.
the apps and that, and those kind of things.
Right.
And those are great ways to communicate
yes.
with people. Because I will say, in the past, I used to go to the website and couldn't find anything. And in this day and age now, websites are just something you go to, and if you can't figure it out right away, a lot of times you just stop looking.
And we pride ourselves on making it easy to navigate, and we are pleased that we have more than 5,000 downloads for the mobile app, so we are still pushing it. But parents, they're downloading the app. We're very excited. We're pushing out new information each and every day, just trying to make it easily accessible for them.
The app does a lot of different things, because you've got bus things in there.
Oh, my goodness. Lunch balances, grades, anything and everything that you could need, we have it on the app.
Wait, what? Speaking of lunch balances, that
and listen, Ted, we also have the superintendent's blog on there.
Yep. The superintendent has a blog? I didn't know the superintendent had a blog.
Yes, he has
Ted,
a blog.
You hurt my feelings.
I am sorry to say, I should
yes.
not have said that. I should have
yes.
said, of course I do.
Of course.
But then his next question would have been,
I'm trying to get,
what was your favorite posting?
Well, I'm trying to get my readership up. So.
Yes, we are.
I'll help with that.
Okay.
But something like that with the lunch balances, I know all schools struggle with that, mm-hmm. of what you do. And that's a tough... It's a tough thing, but to be able to make that does make it easier for families, or to be able to, because a lot of times, I know in my case, we didn't know. My son would come home and say, oh yeah, they've been telling me that for a long time. So it's those kind of things. If you've got Stafford County students at any age, you know, get the app.
Yeah, get the app. Download it today.
And the website address is?
www.staffordschools.net.
Very easy.
Yeah.
Staffordschools.net. This annual report, it's coming out when?
It'll be presented formally to the board at our board meeting next week on Tuesday.
Oh, okay. So we've sort of gotten a little peek of it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right here. Now, I may have misheard you, Holly. Did you say you referred to something, the C5W?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
That is what came, actually, we were ahead of the ball game, and I'll then probably punt this over to the superintendent. Before the legislature came up with a new portrait of a graduate,
mm-hmm.
we were already way ahead of them saying, you know, we want our kids to be more than an SOL test and a PALS reading test or a whatever. We want them to have these other, what we call all-century skills. And one of those, like I said, with Boys and Blazers, is citizenship. There's collaboration. There's creative and creativity is on there. Critical thinking. We want them to have these skills that are going to help them in the world. And like I went back to my horrible trigonometry thought.
Yeah.
You know, how do we teach our kids to problem solve? Because that's going to be, no matter, all century skills. This is what you needed when you were here in the 1700s, and you will need it here when you're in the 2200s. You know, it's those are the kinds of things. And our staff came up with, and it's called C5W. They actually are very similar to what the state came up with, but we added a W, and the W is for wellness. And wellness is not just about our physical wellness, it's our mental wellness, our emotional awareness. And we believe that that's also very important. But I'm going to get Bruce to do the good one because I have to write them all down.
Actually, I think you got them all.
I did.
Critical thinking, creativity, citizenship, communication, collaboration, and wellness.
Okay, the C. I get it. I get it. Because I've been sitting there looking at that and thinking, what in the world would that mean? But you talk to any teacher will tell you that, especially in the SOL age, it's just been difficult at times. And I think they're starting to be able to do a few more things. Because I would hear from teachers all the time about wanting to teach about something. And they would say, you know, I would love to, but we really can't. Because we can't stray from what we're doing, or we don't have the time. And this, I guess, helps you do that.
Well, and it's also helpful that the state came along after we identified them, and I'll just say that.
Yeah.
But, you know, saying that these things are important for graduates of students in Virginia, and so school divisions have a responsibility to ensure that they have a great definition that is, you know, something that you can act upon and look for in classrooms across the school system. So we're excited, and it's part of a new observational tool that we're learning out in, or we're putting out in a learning walk model, where we're going to have teachers and administrators walk in classrooms and look for evidence of work in these areas.
Okay.
And the summit really helped also continue to kick off that work. So about a third of our teaching workforce got to go and talk about how are we going to do this in the classroom. We had a wonderful speaker, John Antonetti, who bought in to what we were trying to teach and crafted his remarks that way. And so eventually, I think the thing about C5W is it doesn't just apply, going back to what I said, to our, you know, accelerated learners, to other words. This is designed for every student. All means all needs to have these characteristics, and it shouldn't just be focused in specialty programs that are teaching these skills. Every child needs to know how to problem solve.
Well, I have learned about C5W today, and that Dr. Benson has a blog. So if anybody says to me, "What'd you learn today?" I've got my two things today. We will wrap this up with Stafford County Schools when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking Stafford County Schools this morning with Superintendent Dr. Bruce Benson here, School Board Chairwoman Holly Hazard, and Cherie Johnson, the Director of Strategic Communications for Stafford County Schools, here with us talking about a number of things. One of the things, Dr. Benson, tomorrow night, I think that's tomorrow night, the 7th. Mm-hmm. Yeah, tomorrow night. Yeah, mm-hmm. Wednesday night at Drew Middle School is something called the Listening Tour.
Right, and this is a continuation of something that we started last year. It's an opportunity for the community to come out and hear a few very brief remarks about a couple of things that we've talked about as a school division, including, you know, the consideration for a pre-Labor Day opening, where we're headed with the budget, and then are trying to get folks to let us know whether or not they have a parent that works in the military, is because we have a funding stream that's associated with that. But the bulk of the time is there for citizens to ask questions, and then for us to try and respond to those questions. And we're hopeful that we have a good turnout tomorrow evening.
And you've been doing these, what, for the last year or so?
We started just last year. Our first time, and we held, I think it was three that we had last year.
Yeah, three last year. Mm-hmm.
And that's a good point about I know that's a huge thing for school districts if you've got if you're a military family and there's a name for that. Isn't there a name for that?
Impact aid.
Yeah, and you have to get that in. Also, Sherie, there's a run coming up. Couple Saturdays from
that's
now.
That's right. Stafford Education Foundation Superintendent's 5K Run. This is for Stafford County Public Schools employee and Stafford County government employees.
Okay.
So we are still registering folks. You can go to our website, www.staffordschools.net, and they can register for their race. And it's Saturday, October 28th, and Dr. Benson has already bought new sneakers for the race.
I was just going to say, so this is the superintendent's run. So will the superintendent be running?
Oh, absolutely. You can count on it.
Okay. No walking
cheer.
Or anything.
I cheer.
Oh, you cheer?
I cheer. It's easier for me to. I'm an encourager for runners.
Well, they need that too.
And if you come to the listening tour at Drew Middle School, you will get to see the work done in the library this
brand
summer.
Brand new library.
Yeah, incredible.
We talked about that about a year ago, and describe what people will see.
Well, we're trying to create spaces that help to facilitate teaching and learning and support student collaboration and an opportunity to work in a way that is different than what you might get in a traditional library type of setting. So creating spaces that are designed specifically for kids to work not only with each other but to engage with content is an important part of our library renovation project. And we did, from a cost perspective, a relatively inexpensive renovation at Drew, but it really is transformational in terms of the space. So we're excited to be able to hold that listening tour tomorrow night there.
Oh, I guess. And work is right now going on at North Stafford?
It is, and we anticipate the North Stafford Library will be opening in the middle of November. Again, a space that really is going to enhance teaching and learning opportunities for everybody in the building.
Anybody else on the list of any other libraries you're looking at down the road, or these?
Well, actually, we'd like to get to all of them over time.
Yeah.
Revisiting again, because it's the one space that you can look at and make some changes to that will have an impact on pretty much everybody in the building.
Yeah. Before we get out of here, Cherie, we started the show talking about, and there'll be a presentation, and we'll have things on Facebook and things out on Friday at the Tim Pohanka giving a check presentation to the autism program at Conway. But we started off about if businesses or anybody wants to fund things or become a business partner, because there are all kinds of, when you talk about business partners, ways to get involved.
Exactly. We have 30 schools. We have all kinds of programs. So they can just email me, Cherie Johnson, at johnsonsa@staffordschools.net. I would love to point them in the right direction. We have a business agreement that we'd love for them to fill out, and we'd love for them to be a part of our team, because, we can't do this by ourselves. The community and schools need to work together, and it's a great partnership, and we look forward to working with other businesses in the community.
And I guess it's the kind of thing, no gift is too big or too small.
Exactly. Yeah, we have everything from Chick-fil-A cards to it's $5,000 check, and nothing's too big or too small.
Yeah, so well, good stuff. And the other thing is, the website is
www.staffordschools.net.
Staffordschools.net, and that is where I'm going to be going today and reading Dr. Benson's blog.
Please do.
I feel as though I would be more prepared and would be more in the know. And
he has a lot of good things on there. He does school visits on Fridays, so we take pictures, and then he also talks about his different visits and what he sees.
Well, Dr. Benson, thank you. We'll see you soon. Thank
you so much.
Appreciate
it very much, Ted. Thanks for having us.
Holly, good to see you. And Cherie, good to see
you.
Stafford County Schools, our focus this morning. That is it. We'll see you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.